The book is called The Curse of Kirvis Dere, and that's a Turkish name for the place on the Gallipoli Peninsula where the Battle of Krithia was fought back in the First World War. The book talks about war a lot, but ultimately it talks about two survivors of the Great War, Charles Kerry and the inimitable one-armed French ex-legionnaire Bosco, who have struggled to make a life, as so many people did after the Great War. And they find themselves in London, but life is not good. And then life becomes steadily worse, and it appears, for those of you who know your Lovecraft, that the stars are becoming right. And rather than give in, they fight and they fight and they fight, but they fight in conjunction with London's most interesting booksellers, Williams and Fove, who, of course, need an archaeologist, so they recruit Dr. Jenny Cavendish, the most dangerous archaeologist in England of the British Museum, and they fight terrible, terrible dark forces, and they stop bad things from happening, and it's a bit Lovecraftian, and it's very 1930s, and it's a lot of fun. It's a big action adventure. And I have just been presented a Moomin, a little Mai, because I do know my Moomin trolls. Kiitos Jukka, which is all the Finnish I know.
Now I'm taking it away.
Thank you so much. It turns out I'm multilingual. One of the things about the book is I was a soldier for a while, and I realised I have no huge problem with defending important things, but that takes a lot of different forms. And one of the things that happened as I thought about this, because I became an officer and I worked in officer training, I realized that some battles should never be joined. And that's Sun Tzu, for those who've never heard that before. And that one of the best ways to stop terrible things happening in war is not to be a better soldier. It's to work on those aspects that mean that war don't happen. War doesn't happen in the first place. And that's why I work in education now, because when you educate people, ignorance is defeated and you stop wars from breaking out. When I was researching this story, a friend brought me an idea for a role-playing game, which was a Lovecraftian thing set in 1930s London. And I loved the idea and I loved the setting, and I started researching some characters and I wrote them up to play them. And then I realized that they were developing a life of their own. So I started reading into the region, reading into the area of literature. And what struck me was the mounting horror. People had survived the Great War, and they thought that was the war to end all wars, and it was done. And then things started going pear-shaped. For those who don't know, the Treaty of Versailles was the stupidest thing, one of the stupidest things that ever happened. The Great War was marked by a number of incredibly stupid divisions of territory, ignoring what would happen to withstand and to construct and allow long-term peace. And the Treaty of Versailles was one of those things. And people in the 30s suddenly realized that it was going to happen again. And you read this and you read these people and they are terrified. And the reason all those people went to fight in Spain, the reason all those people were suddenly active, you know, the previous class of people who wrote a lot and spoke a lot but didn't necessarily fight a lot, they suddenly became people who fought a lot, and it's because they suddenly realized what was about to happen. And it was that sheer inevitability. And I wanted to write into that time, but I didn't want to write something that just dealt with humans, because we know how that panned out. And weirdly enough, we're seeing it again, because humans are apparently rather stupid. I wanted to pit people against a foe that was so terrible that they had to put all those small human things behind them. And I actually made a comment on this in my afterword in the book, and I think that Lovecraft missed the truth of his own work. He managed to be racist when he was talking about things that would destroy humanity, and it is the most amazing misinterpretation of the impact of your own work that you could ever see. Because if Haster is coming, why do you care if somebody is yellow or brown? And that was the core of the work. I discovered only today that I had managed to actually set it somewhere that was very poignantly named. Kirvestere, the location that I mentioned, it means Celery Creek, because we don't name places after war until after we've had a war there. You know, if something's called Battle Bridge, it's because we've fought there for centuries. If somebody has had one battle there or a couple, the name reverts back to a town. So we have Cambrai, which is a town again. We have Changi, which is an airport. And we have Celery Creek, which is Kirvestere as part of Krithia on the Gallipoli Peninsula is still a place, and you can go and visit it. But because wars have not been fought there many times, it is still Celery Creek. I wanted to take all of these themes and bring them together and tell it as a fun story, a story that people could get into and they could empathize with, but they could feel these people who had survived, and they went, we've survived and it's wonderful, we've survived, the world is different, we're never going to do this again. And that horrible moment in the 1930s, the early 1930s, when they went, we're doing it, this is about to happen. I didn't actually write it with a resonance for today.
If people want to get a copy of it?
If people want to get a copy of it, then the best place to go is to my website, where I've got all of the various stores available for you there. So if you go to velourfuture.com/Kerevesdere, KEREVESDERE, then you'll be able to find it. But if you go to velourfuture.com, then you should be able to find it. And of course, anybody who grew up in the 60s and 70s knew that the future was going to be velour.